Today on Real Radio.
How many times have you tried to share with your friends and they say, but you just got drunk last week? Well, yeah, but I came to the Lord yesterday. Oh, don't talk to me. You share with your family. We know about you. They know all about you, don't they? It's hard to share with them. And you stand up and you say, you know what? You need to repent, man, and come to Jesus, and he'll blow your mind. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that because I used to know how you were, boy. Yeah, that's right. You used to know how I used to be. That's the point. God sent Peter a message to preach to these people because they had denied Jesus. Well, so had Peter. That's what made the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ more wonderful and more sweet.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Acts. We'll be taking a look at chapter 3, where we see the power of the gospel. In fact, that's the title of this study that looks at how our Lord used Peter and John to spread the word to the people of Israel. What got their attention was the genuine healing of a man unable to walk from birth. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
If you're a Christian this morning, has there been a change in your life? Can you mark a point in time when you changed? Or have you always just been good? Because good isn't good enough to get into heaven. Jesus says you must be born again. Verse 9, he says, and all the people, oh, I love this, all the people saw him walking and praising God, a witness. Hey, man, look at that guy. Look at that crazy nut jumping up and down, praising the Lord. Then look what happened. This is great. Next verse. Then they knew, or they had found out, that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is great. I wish we could see this like on the wall. Oh, man, look, everybody. Look at that guy praising the Lord, jumping up and down, singing hallelujah. Oh, yeah, isn't that great? Oh, my gosh, wait a minute. That's the guy that was crippled. And the word in the Greek for wonder and amazement is awesome. The word wonder means to be breathless, to have your breath taken away. Hey, everybody, look at that guy. Hey, I think that's the one who was crippled. And then the next thing that they were in amazement, the word is ecstasia. It's where we get the English word ecstasy. It means, I love this, the meaning in the Greek is a displacement of the mind. They were absolutely freaked out. I'd give anything to see that crowd at that moment when that happened. I want to be there. You know, another day going to church. Oh, brother, big deal, you know. Here we go. And then some guy comes zipping across the horizon. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, oh man, let's go. And you go, oh, well, something's going on. Maybe they're giving something away. I'll take two. And you get closer, and somebody goes, that's the guy that's been begging. No way. Oh, my gosh, it is. And wouldn't it be neat to have an event like that happen in your life other than an earthquake? You just seize. Oh, my gosh, this is awesome. That's what they did. Thousands of people freaked out at this event. And verse 11, it says, and the lame, now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, and the word means a grip. He's got them with gratitude, no doubt. Held on to Peter and John, and all the people ran together to them on the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. By the way, don't let that word greatly amazed think they ran up and threw flowers in front of him and asked him out to dinner. Not necessarily, because the word can also be translated what you have been experiencing in your new life with Christ. Hey, Mom, Dad, I'm born again, man. I've got God living in my heart, and I'm going to heaven. You what? Or, honey, I've given my heart to Christ. I'm free from all that stuff that was going on, and I'm going to be a new man. What? And what happens? Jesus says a prophet is not without honor except in his own home. You'll get honor anywhere but your own home. And some of you are mocked and rejected because you're a Christian in your own house. And the word can be translated, they're amazed. Oh no, not my husband. Oh no, not my kids. Oh yeah. Because what generates the response is their amazement. It may be a blessing. It quite often comes as a curse. Jesus says, if you live godly, you shall suffer persecution. Why? Jesus said, a city on a hill cannot be hid. How come? Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Really? Listen, if you're light, if you're salt, if you're an example, if you're a witness of the kingdom of God, even by saying the word, I am a Christian, or I believe in Jesus Christ, you have aligned even family against you. And what they want to do, they start poking you, don't they? What do you mean by that? Oh, this and all that and the other thing. And they want to get you to crack. I think personally the reason why they do that is because they're hoping that what you believe in is worthy of their belief as well. But they start trying you. Why? They're amazed because there's been a change in your life. They're amazed. And I love that. There's a difference. And I appreciate it. Verse 12 now. We get into this. Message that Peter takes advantage of to preach before these people. It says in verse 12, so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people. Saw what? When he saw verse 11 happen, when he saw a great multitude of people coming together at the porch. Pastor Peter broke out his Bible, felt the sermon coming on, there was a crowd. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of him and he went. And I want to read this to you. You're going to have a tendency to maybe get upset. Listen to the message. It's to the house of Israel. It's to the Jewish people. Peter doesn't talk about the annual church picnic that's coming up. I mean, he goes for the throat. And what happens is the people get convicted and they give up and they come to Christ and they're saved. So listen to what Peter says, because it's going to speak to our heart. It's going to convict us. But listen who he's speaking to. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people and said, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or goodness we've made this man walk? That's a great way to start any healing service. Verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Man. First of all, he draws their attention to their patriarchs, their fathers, and to the God of their fathers, Jehovah, Yahweh, God of the Bible. And he says that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our fathers, glorified his servant. See in your Bible, hopefully in your Bible, where it says his servant, it is capital H and capital S on servant, because that's how it appears in the original language. His servant. It's a reference to the Messiah. And the Jews in the present arena heard that and they went, his servant. We know what his servant means. It means the Messiah. They knew that. That's why in your Bible it should be capitalized H and capitalized S. It caught their attention, and immediately their eyes would have jumped to Isaiah 50 and Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22. They knew those scriptures, which those scriptures say, by the way, that the Messiah, when he comes, his beard would be plucked out of his face. That when the Messiah would come, that he would be beaten to the point that you could not recognize him as a human. And then that he would be crucified, nailed, 1,000 years before the art was ever invented through his hands and his feet. The prophets foretold that. Micah 6:8 tells us, "Behold, O Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of provinces of Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth to me, who shall be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth and existence has been eternal." That's awesome. All of a sudden it began to click. My gosh, his servant. He was crucified. And Peter says, "You guys denied him. You guys denied him, and Pilate was wanting to give him away and release him, and you wouldn't even let him loose. You demanded he be killed, and you released Barabbas instead, that murderer." He is laying it on them. Now, what do you think? Well, you know, people aren't going to come back to that message. Peter doesn't care. Peter doesn't care about filling up the church. He cares about eternal life. He delivers the message, and it's black and white. No messing around. And what cracks me up, you look at verse 13 at the bottom there, down towards the end, "whom you delivered up, you denied in the presence of Pilate." Look at verse 14. "But you denied the Holy One and the just." When I studied this week, I began to think, ooh, Peter, who's guilty of denial? "Lord, though all forsake thee, I'll never forsake thee." Not like these guys, but I'm with you all the way, God. In about a day and a half, Peter was denying Jesus Christ three times right in front of his face. I don't even know the man. I don't know him. I don't even know him. Rooster crows. Peter runs off and breaks down into tears and repents. But let me say this. To me, this is so encouraging. I want to ask you, are you a denier of God? How about this? Let's make it more personal. Are you a liar? Do you have a tendency to lie? Exaggerate. What about, do you have a wandering eye and you see that guy over there or that lady? What about envy? Do you envy? You know, pick any of the Ten Commandments, by the way, and just go down the list and see how far you go. And it's like, my gosh, it's getting real quiet in here because I can, you know, I'm guilty of at least 11 out of the 10, you know. So what do you do with that? This blows my mind, and I hope somebody here this morning catches this. Peter, a couple of weeks or so, a month maybe, after the denial of Jesus, is nailing people in a sermon two times, uses the word deny. How could he do that? What nerve! I mean, how many times have you tried to share with your friends and they say, "But you just got drunk last week." "Well, yeah, but I came to the Lord yesterday." "Oh, pfft, don't talk to me. You share with your family." "We know about you." They know all about you, don't they? It's hard to share with them. And you stand up and you say, "You know what? You need to repent, man, and come to Jesus." And he'll blow your mind. "Oh, no, I'm not going to do that because I used to know how you were, boy." "Yeah, that's right. You used to know how I used to be." That's the point. God sent Peter a message to preach to these people because they had denied Jesus. Well, so had Peter. That's what made the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ more wonderful and more sweet. Do you have a problem with envy? God's going to give you victory over that, and then you can talk to people about envy. And you can say, "You know what? I was just like that, man. And I want to tell you, there's hope. Because if God can change me, he can change you." And then maybe you're sitting here thinking this morning, "Well, I don't need change. I'm pretty much perfect the way I look at it." That's called pride. And I could come up to you and say, "I know how that pride is. Get a look at Jesus, and he'll change it." And you won't be the only one in the world anymore. It's a pretty neat place. See, whatever it might be, don't think because you're a Christian this morning, "You know, I can't share with my neighbor because she's in adultery, and I used to be in adultery." Well, let me ask you something. Are you in it now? Have you repented, and are you following Christ? Yeah? Then go share with her. You alone can cry with her. You know. God takes all of our failures, all of our sin, and he wipes it away forever, never to be remembered by him. We always remember him. But he takes usually that very thing that was our problem, and he gets you rooted and grounded in his word and in grace, and then he uses you to touch people that are in the same position. And I'm blessed by this. Peter says, you guys are a bunch of deniers. Yeah, but what about, hey, Peter says, I repented. I came to Christ, and you can too. That's not in the Bible. I just made that part up. So I'm sure it was something along those lines. Verse 15, and you killed the originator, the author, the word in the Greek, the originator of life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are all witnesses. And his name, here you go, verse 16, and his name through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and you know. You know this guy. So how was the guy made whole? By the man having faith in his faith? Because you'll get that on a lot of radio programs and TV shows. No. Faith in Jesus Christ to heal him. Was he good? No. Was he lost? Yeah. Was he unable to do anything for himself? Certainly. Those are the people God saves. Doesn't matter if you're a corporate executive or whatever. Doesn't matter what talents you have. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 tells us that our faith is actually given by God. It's a gift bestowed by the grace of God. And then he goes on to say in verse 16, yes, that faith which comes through him has given him, this man, perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet know, brethren, I know, or yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did your fathers, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, the entire Bible, this is, listen to this, all of the Bible, he's talking about verse 18, he says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that the times of refreshing might come from the presence of the Lord. Verse 20, and that he might send Jesus Christ who was preached to you before. Verse 21, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of how many prophets? All of them. What are you saying? I'm saying that the entire Bible points to Jesus Christ. Every verse, every chapter, every book is about Jesus. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says concerning Jesus that in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees who knew the Bible in John chapter 5, and he says, you search the scriptures, and in them you think that you have eternal life. You think you're going to do it by being good? And then his next statement is, they are those which do testify of me. And then he says also in John, when Abraham, he says, Abraham was all turned on when he saw me. And they went, what? Abraham lived thousands of years ago. What do you mean he got all excited when he saw you? Jesus is eternal. He appeared in the book of Genesis to Abraham. And that's the reference that Jesus is making to in John's gospel. The entire Bible is a story written about God's love to you to buy you back out of this world to give you eternal life so that when you die, you'll go to heaven and live with him forever. And that entire book is written about God's love to pull it off in Jesus Christ. All of the prophets have been saying it for thousands of years. Peter's pointing them to the Word of God. And then we'll just about wrap this up. I want us to focus on verse 19, and then we'll just read through the following verses. Look at verse 19. I know it's not popular to even say this word these days. I hope that popularity shift changes. Peter says, repent, therefore, and be converted. Let's just pretend right now. Let's take the word repent out and put the word that actually is in the Greek language. It's the word metanoia, and it means to change your course. It's a nautical term for sailing. Change your course. Point your boat the other way. So let's talk about changing the course of our boat. The word means to change the attitude of your mind. And the next word is be converted. That word means turn to God. Think different and turn to God. Have a different thought toward God and go His direction. That word, repent and be converted, repent is the first word that Jesus preached concerning the gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The first word that John the Baptist preached concerning the gospel is repent, for the kingdom of God is near or at hand. Paul the Apostle preached the first word of the gospel. Guess what word it is? Repent. Peter's first message, repent. Change the course that you're sailing on. And that's what we need to do today. You've been going a certain direction, and in your mind, you're saying this morning, some of this is making sense to me. And I think I might want to follow this course. That's good. Follow that thinking all the way out to the point where you come to this repent and what it means. I'm sailing towards Catalina. I just found out I left my lunch in Newport. I repent. I turn 180 degrees and I go back to Newport. Well, you and I set sail a long time ago. And we've been going and we left Jesus way back at the dock a long time ago. And Peter now says, you know what? I want you to change your boat's direction and come back to Him. And when you come back, right when you turn your boat around, you've got all this stuff that you're hanging on to. And you just say, you know what, Lord, I'm repenting. And I'm turning my boat around and I'm throwing you my pride. I'm throwing you my pain. I'm throwing you my grief, my bitterness, my drugs, my anger. But I'm going to follow you. That's what it means. And you know what happens? You're just flooded with peace. You know that you're going to go to heaven when you die. You get power in your life now. Somehow, God begins to change you by the power of His Spirit using the Word of God, and you're different. And so, verse 22, and we'll end it. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up to you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, and whatever he says to you to do. And it shall come to pass that every soul who will not hear that prophet, they reject him, shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Whose choice is it, I ask you? Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel unto those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. What a message. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, that is Israel, God, having raised up His servant Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your sins or from your iniquities. Jesus came to love you, to give you life. What a deal. God, you take my grunge, and He says, okay, great, thanks, and I'll give you my glory. That's a deal.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study series called The Power of the Gospel. It's a look at Acts chapter 3, and we'll continue to journey through this New Testament narrative here on Real Radio, so be sure and follow along. Remember, you can hear these studies once again and as often as you'd like just by visiting us at www.realradioactive.org. www.realradioactive.org. To get in touch by telephone, it's easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. Amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.